This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A little bit later in the hour, we'll be talking about astronomy and a robotic car race. But first, the smallpox virus is one of the most feared potential biowarfare agents. Members of the military and some first responder healthcare workers are in line to be vaccinated against smallpox. But some people have declined to take the current vaccine called Dryvax because of its potential side effects. Well, this week, researchers reported in two papers, one in the journal Nature, one in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, on tests of a new vaccine, one that uses a weakened form of the vaccinia virus to create its immune response. They found that it seems to work just as well as the existing vaccine in protecting monkeys from monkeypox, but has fewer side effects. How close is this experimental vaccine to becoming available for use in humans? That's what we'll be talking about right up on the top of the hour now. This hour, 1-800-989-8255 is our number, 1-800-989-TALK. And joining me to talk about this work is Dr. Anthony Fauci. He's director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at NIH in Bethesda, Maryland. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Fauci.
Thank you, Ari. Good to be here.
Let's talk about Dryvax first. That's the only approved vaccine in the country?
Right. It's a highly effective vaccine, but it does have toxicities, rare, a few of them, some of them unusual, but its efficacy is unquestioned. Mm-hmm. The issue that you just mentioned very appropriately is that there's concern that in a non-epidemic situation where you're trying to prevent for the possibility of there being a bioterror attack, that the risk that's associated, as small as it may be, with the Dryvax is something that makes people pause regarding whether or not they would like to get vaccinated, even those who are in a particular area where they might be responders.
Mm-hmm. What people might be at risk for those side effects?
Well, first of all, anybody is at risk for the side effects, but the people who are those who have the most likelihood, even though, again, it's a small chance of getting some of the toxicities, are people, for example, who are immunosuppressed, who have either naturally occurring impairments of their body's immune system or on certain medications in which the body's immune system may be compromised, patients with cancer, infants, babies who are less than 12 months old, pregnant women in the first trimester, women who are nursing, people who have skin diseases such as eczema, which would make it more likely that there would be a disseminated spread of the vaccine virus throughout the body. Mm-hmm. So it's fundamentally people who have either skin conditions or conditions in which their ability to handle a virus is compromised.
Mm-hmm. Talking with Dr. Anthony Fauci, our number 1-800-989-8255. Okay, then let's talk about this new vaccine. How is it different and how is it being tested?
Well, the new vaccine is referred to as Modified Vaccinia Ankara, or MVA. And it's a vaccine that actually had been used in the 60s in Germany as a smallpox vaccine and was shown to be really quite safe and not have the risks of the kinds of difficulties that were seen with Dryvax throughout the world. Mm-hmm. It also has been used since it's a modified virus, modified vaccinia virus, in the sense that it's attenuated or weakened, so that it doesn't have the possibility of spreading in someone whose body cannot control it. What we do know is that it is safe when used previously. What has not been definitively shown is whether or not it is as effective as the Dryvax. And the reason for that is that when it was used in the 1960s in Germany, it was used in a situation where there was not endemic or epidemic smallpox going on. So there's not definitive proof that it works. The important studies that have just been reported in the monkey and in the mouse model indicate that in the monkeypox model in a monkey and in the disseminated vaccinia model in a mouse, it is quite protective. It appears to be safe in that particular model, and it induces the kind of immune response that you would expect to protect an individual. So it's getting us closer to feeling more comfortable with the fact that if used, it will actually be effective. Mm-hmm. And obviously we need to do more studies in showing in the human model that it in fact is as safe as we think it is and does indeed induce the immune response that we've seen in the past.
So you're saying that it works, but we don't know if it works as well as what Dryvax is doing now.
Well, if you compare it in the animal model, it compares quite comparably and favorably with Dryvax in the animal model. There never has been, and there won't ever be, with real smallpox, very unlikely, that there would be a head-to-head comparison of the MVA and the Dryvax in a situation where you're protecting against smallpox. But in the animal models that were just recently reported, particularly the monkey model with monkeypox, MVA performed quite well compared to Dryvax.
Hmm. Does it work molecularly the same way? How does it work?
No, absolutely. In fact, both of them are vaccinia viruses or a form of the smallpox, not exactly a smallpox virus, certainly a much, much safer virus, but the classic Dryvax is a vaccinia which is not attenuated or weakened, whereas the MVA, it's the same kind of a virus, but it is weakened in its ability to multiply and replicate itself. But it has the same, as you alluded to, molecular and antigenic characteristics, which merely is big words for saying that it has the same kind of structures and proteins and things that induce the immune response. Mm-hmm. And it does it really quite well. The fact that it is weakened or attenuated removes, for the most part, the risks of what we're concerned about with the hardy vaccinia Dryvax, which if it gets into a person whose immune system is suppressed, there's the risk that that person might not be able to normally contain this otherwise relatively harmless vaccinia, and it becomes dangerous to the person who gets vaccinated. Whereas with MVA, it's weakened enough that it seems to give the same stimulus to the immune system as Dryvax does, but it doesn't have the risk of dissemination or generalized spread of the virus that you worry about in people who have compromised host defense mechanisms.
So a person who gets the vaccine is not going to spread it from one person to the other?
Not only not from one person to the other, but extremely unlikely that the persons within their own body will be unable to contain the replication of the virus.
Yeah, because that was one of the worries about the present virus, the Dryvax, is that, you know, you put Band-Aids on the people and it gets a little pussy and people were worried about spreading it.
Yeah, many, if not all, of the things that we have been justifiably concerned about over the years with Dryvax seem to be not an issue with MVA.
Yeah.
And we've known that for quite a while, that it's very safe. But I think the importance to underscore of the animal studies that have just been reported is that it answers a very important question. Okay, it's safe, but does it look like it would be as protective as the Dryvax?
Right.
And in fact, it is not. Nothing is as good as the Dryvax in its ability to protect, but the MVA is quite close to it, if not really comparable to it in the animal model.
All right, Dr. Fauci, the $64 question, which is, you know what I'm going to ask. When is it going to be ready for human testing?
Well, it is already going in. Certain forms of the MVA have already been tested in phase one clinical trials. What we're doing right now is that we're prepping up for under what we call an FDA IND or a form of it prepared in a way that is certainly on the route that if the studies prove what we hope they'll prove, that they would be ready to be considered for approval. But the phase 1-2 trials are going to begin in late 2004. When I say phase 1, it's testing it in special populations, for example, people with skin disorders and people maybe with HIV infection. The phase 2 trials are larger numbers of individuals, and they'll be used to determine dosages and safety, and those are planned for mid-2005. And then later on in 2006 will be the very large trials, the phase 3 trials, to really nail down the safety. Now, during that process of phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, you're going in a stepwise process so that you can go through the proper steps to get it to the point where you want it licensed. If we have a situation where in an emergency you'd want to use it and you're already in phase 3 trial, then you could use that under experimental conditions. But what we really want to do is get to the point where we have it FDA approved,
right,
in our stockpile and ready to go.
Let me take a phone call or two, 1-800-989-8255. Nick in Norman, Oklahoma. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Hi there.
Yeah, I had a question. I had heard about a research study that they're doing here in Oklahoma City where they're paying people to take a smallpox vaccine, and then you come back for 3 case studies. I was wondering if this had anything to do with the new vaccine that you guys are talking about today.
You know, Ira, I'm not sure what we mean by 3 case studies. There are a number of studies that are going on with different forms of the smallpox vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
It could be MVA that they're talking about, but just with that bit of information, I don't think I can confirm that this is exactly the product what we're talking about right now.
Now let me get one more call in before we have to say goodbye. Abe in Sacramento?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I want to ask your guest and you, what do you think about a strengthening and toughening up of the existing FDA law to require that if a proposed drug or an existing drug already approved ain't perfectly 100% safe for everybody, don't use it. Don't approve it. It's safe or it's not safe. If it's only 5 casualties in a million, it ain't safe. Make it safe. And if it ain't safe, don't permit the licensing of a new drug or an existing drug. Mm-hmm. And the patient laying on his bed in the hospital, he don't know what's being given to him.
All right, Dr. Fauci?
Well, I think that one has to talk about risk benefits. I don't think that there will ever be a drug in which it's powerful enough to have an impact that is absolutely guaranteed 100% safe in every single individual who would get that drug. And the same holds true with the vaccine. And what is tried to be done by the careful scrutiny of the FDA is to balance the risk benefit ratio of making a drug approved depending upon what the disease that you're dealing with. For example, a classic example would be if you're dealing with chemotherapy drugs for cancer, you're dealing with a potentially deadly disease to begin with, and you give drugs that get approved that may have a very good cure rate, but it's not going to be completely safe in 100% of the individuals. On the other hand, if you have drugs that are given for a relatively minor condition, in which the condition itself is not life-threatening, then you want that drug to be absolutely as close as possible to being 100% safe. But since there's such variability in the biology of humans, you're almost always going to find a situation where a drug that you thought was truly completely safe is going to have an adverse event in any individual at any given time.
Well, do you know how long this, I just got about a minute, these vaccines, how long would they last? You know, those of us who were vaccinated originally, thought we were good forever.
Well, you know, it's actually an interesting point. The more we study immunity to smallpox, the more we see that the residual immunity that you and I might have from when we received smallpox as children lasts quite a long time. It isn't optimal immunity. So if you're really going to be protecting the population against a naturally occurring epidemic, or in the case with smallpox, it would have to be a deliberate bioterror attack, that you'd want to be optimally protected. And although there may be residual immunity, and we're very pleased that there is residual immunity, in order to be optimal, you have to be vaccinated within a reasonable period of time, measured in a few years.
Yes. So, okay, we'll have to wait and see how this turns out. We'll have you back. Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
As always, Dr. Fauci, for joining us.
Take care.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases at the National Institutes of Health in Bethesda. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, all you geeks who like to make robots, we're going to talk about robots and this $1 million prize, the grand challenge to drive from Los Angeles to Nevada and Las Vegas in March coming up this weekend. Stay with us.